There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Get involved and help set the agenda. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Before we get back to today's talkers, I'm just flicking through a few of the stories that are doing the rounds on the local media platforms at the moment. There's another one of these stories. This is not the first time I've seen this story, but it is a story that always catches my eye. I'm not going to delve into it too much because I don't want to give too many details away. But there's this cucumber promotion on again today. Cucumber Day is back. Where you can use cucumbers, which I know for a fact grow very well here in the UAE. It's one of those products that are grown locally in abundance and stock our fridge as they do, I'm sure, many others. But in certain sort of adult venues around town or certain venues around town, you can take a cucumber with you today and you can exchange it for a free drink.
Yes, I've seen these too. Have you ever tried it?
I've never tried it because I've never felt the urge. I just think it's a little bit strange for me to stuff a couple of cucumbers into my pockets and then make my way out to out on the town and then produce a cucumber rather than
rather
a 50
than your
dirham note.
Quite random, but I guess, you know, quite good if you're looking for a bargain. I know a couple of friends that did it. They took a big like box of cucumbers or whatever it was that day, because I think it's been other vegetables as well.
No, really?
I think so.
40 participating outlets apparently have signing up to this one. Deal's valid on October the 10th of this year at participating outlets. Your cucumber shall treat you to a drink.
And they're so
the
cheap
equation.
As well.
Cucumbers, yeah.
Like, it's really good value.
It's amazing. I suppose the only thing that I can't get my head around here is well, they're called dollars greenbacks, don't they? They're greenbacks. So this is sort of giving back the green to a certain degree. But it's just the transportation of said cucumbers I don't get.
I mean, coming out of each pocket.
If you took a big handbag, you know, if I were a lady and I had a handbag, I suppose I could take a man
bag. Take a man bag.
Stuff
a man bag would suit you. A leather man bag.
No, thank you.
With a grocery bag inside. Doesn't get squashed.
Right, let's get back to today's talkers. We're talking energy drinks first and foremost as we reset the agenda in just a few moments' time. This one's from Joy this morning saying, I'm all for the idea of children being prevented from buying energy drinks, but adults need to be able to make their own decisions. The calls to keep banning stuff all the time are saddening for a society that is still relatively free. Let adults make their own choice. This one is from Belly out there saying kids in many parts of Europe don't seem to have a problem with them, just as they don't seem to have the same kind of problems with other substances as well. First world problem, says Belly. Thank you for that one. And this one from John. Just banning energy drinks is not going far enough either. Where I'm from, the kids all seem to be given money for the shop, which they obviously use to buy junk. Kids should not be allowed to leave school grounds. They should all be forced to have a healthy school meal with water. John, thanks for that one. Han.
Selena says, I don't think kids should be able to have energy drinks, sugary drinks or coffee. It's a bad idea. When I was younger, I had to avoid sugar and E-numbers as they made me hyperactive. Do you remember them?
Mm.
I wasn't allowed tartrazine.
But did you have to check for it every single time?
My mum. It was in like some of the orange squash.
Yeah.
And I used to go really hyperactive as well. I used to go a bit funny, so my mum had to stop me having it.
You?
So I guess it's the same
Hugh
thing.
Hugh Hennan going
me?
Funny?
Hyperactive.
I had it. My brother, he might be listening as well. He'll probably take umbrage with me. But I'm pretty sure, and maybe he'll correct me if I'm wrong. He knows the text number, that's for sure. But yeah, we were always careful the amount of Coca-Cola to give him because he used to go a bit
hyper as well, was it?
Yeah, just a ball of energy. He was a ball of energy anyway, growing up, still is. But when he got a Coca-Cola down him as a child, he just used to go bonkers for a while.
Too much sugar. And kids get quite nasty. People. Like even my friends, you know, sometimes, you know, with sweets and stuff, after a party, you know, like obviously parties, usually they get cake and then they get sweets and they get extra treats. And then next thing, they're not sleeping and they look absolutely wired. And they look sort of like they're falling asleep, but they're still awake and, yeah, hyper.
Let's get a few more of these thoughts from you before we change the subject here or add another subject into the mix. This one's coming through from DB. DB text saying, as someone who used to drink these like water, this, I think, is a wise policy. Most deaths and serious hospitalizations from energy drinks seem to be kids and teens who don't understand moderation or that they may have an undiagnosed heart issue. Also, just like other liquids, the caffeine probably has more effect on smaller individuals. Letting kids have readily accessible energy drinks is often a disaster waiting to happen. Thanks for that one. And also got this from Sunita a little earlier on, saying energy drinks are an inevitable product of our contemporary culture. Most of them promise to diminish the spirits of fatigue or lethargy. But if you think that energy drinks are inoffensive and keep you wide awake for an all-nighter or an uninteresting occupation, think again. There is a lot of misrepresentation touted about energy drinks by the manufacturers themselves. The publicity and fictional info have made it possible to discern what they actually are. Thank you for that. And Prashant says, energy drinks necessary for health and very useful when you are doing tough training or gymming. It boosts your stamina and power to do extra workouts, and they balance your diet as well. But apart from workout, you need to take energy drink for your daily works to release stress, tiredness, and make you cool in this hot environment. Thank you for that one. We have just seen the culmination of the summer holidays. So question from me to you this morning is, what emotion did that rise in you? Was it just a big sigh of relief that the summer holidays are over, or do you yearn for those days with the lack of routine? Are you somebody who needs the routine back in your life of back to school, back to the school run, etc.? Or do you benefit? Do you and your children benefit from that lack of routine and, of course, that freedom that a long summer holiday gives? Now, we all know that everyone needs a break, but is the 7 or 8 weeks that we get here in the UAE too long? And who, at the end of the day, is benefiting from this? Is it the staff at schools, or is it the students themselves? You notice it, don't you? During the towards the end of the holidays. Well, you notice it during the holidays. It's just the levels of boredom get on the rise, and therefore the levels of frustration continue as well. But you also notice it at the end, towards the end, when you get these stress levels for a number of students because they forget what they're taught. Because if you take an extended time off during the summer months, you do forget basically your methods of learning and what you've been taught. And this is not just us saying it, but because there is research and proof towards this. It's called SLL, or Summer Learning Loss. And as many certain sources of research have suggested that as much as 4 years of education can be lost in the process of summer learning loss. So what's the answer here? Do we need shorter, more efficient summer holidays and holidays in general? Should holidays be more balanced throughout the entire year? Or should we just keep the kids in school for longer? There are various different arguments around the world. If you are in Italy or Turkey, you will benefit from as much as 12 weeks holiday during the summer months. That's 3 months off in the heat of the summer. If, however, you're in South Korea, you'll only get 3 weeks. So who's to say which particular system or mode is better? And what is the argument for taking a longer summer holiday? Here in the UAE, has it got anything to do with the fact that your bills, be that your air conditioning bills, your water bills, your electricity bills, would be that much higher during the summer months to maintain a school during those hot summer months? Or is there no argument in that whatsoever? Is it business as usual, just on a slower scale, a smaller scale during the summer months? Get your thoughts into us now on 4001 with regards to the summer holidays. As they come to a conclusion, we're asking you, are they an antiquated relic of a bygone era when children were encouraged to come home from school to help bring in the harvest? Not much harvest being brought in these days. Or are they essential part of the education and the fulfilment of you and your child? Time for the family to spend together, time to throw routine out and benefit from that lack of routine, time to travel and learn about some of life's little mysteries along the way. Is there a better way for us to structure school holidays, summer and otherwise, throughout the year?
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it on The Agenda with Tom Urquhart, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Get involved in the conversation, 4001. We're talking summer holidays. Yeah, I know. There might be something of a memory now with everyone back to school and back to work, but what sort of memories do they instill and rise in you? Do you remember your summer holidays fondly, Hanan?
I do, actually. Used to have really nice holidays. My mum used to take me and my brother with my cousins and my aunt, and we all used to go on sort of a group trip together. We used to go to Ireland a lot. My granddad was Irish, so we used to go and we used to do like caravan trips and horse and carts, and then we used to travel going to the seaside. And yeah, I really remember, and I think holidays are important because you learn a lot in a different way. You sort of become more worldly, and you know, you sort of see different cultures and different things. So I think holidays are really important. And
yeah,
I would take them to be shorter.
Over a 2-week holiday. You can do it over a 3-week holiday. It doesn't have to be 8 weeks, as we're seeing here, does it?
Well, I mean, if it was 2 or 3 weeks, and realistically here, everyone tends to go home to see their families, I would say that you're going to end up spending 1 week at home, coming back and spending at least a week prepping everything, aren't you? I mean, my friends who are mums are all saying it takes ages to get everything ready and sorted. So that's going to cut down your time. Okay, 8 weeks sounds like it might be excessive. But I mean, I think at least 4 to 5 weeks, because then you can travel. You've got two sides of the family. You might be lucky enough that they're all in the same country, but what happens if you're not? So then, you know, if you want to see grandparents in two different countries, that's sort of a week, 2 weeks minimum. Plus, you know, that's going to be like 3 weeks. Then maybe you want to do a trip on your own. You know, I mean, I can see the benefit, but I do think it's obviously hard for parents because they have to take the time off work if they're travelling with the kids.
This is part of the argument, is that given the economics at play here, if you're taking that your average summer holiday is 7 weeks, some up to 8, maybe even 9 weeks, you know, we're talking about 12 weeks in Italy and other parts of the world. I mean, how many parents, not just both sets of parents, not just both parents themselves, but how many fathers or how many mothers respectively can take, you know, blocks of 2 or 3 weeks off at a time during the summer holidays? Maybe you get away with 2 weeks, but any longer than that, where can you go with that? So is that putting the onus, therefore, on parents to entertain their kids otherwise? And we're seeing the cost of doing that, be it through camps or other exercises, also rocketing. So does it therefore count against those that aren't in the highest of pay brackets at the moment to entertain their children throughout the summer months? This is just one of the arguments that is being proffered at the moment. So let's just say if the summer holidays are 7 weeks, longer if your child's at a boarding school, parents could struggle to keep their children entertained. And many wish that the breaks were shorter. Many experts would agree, arguing that the long break could harm children. So why is it that they believe summer holidays are too long, and what should be done instead? We'll take a look at some international perspectives for you in just a little while. But thanks also to those that have contributed to this conversation already today. We had Louise get in touch with the show earlier on, saying, when I became a teacher back in the late 1990s, many parents asked if the long summer holidays were the reason I was doing the qualification. What they didn't ask was why schools have such long holidays. Many, especially those in the media, think they should be shortened because they argue the negative effects of long holidays outweigh the benefits. Let's get, therefore, an educational perspective on this one. We've got the Chief Education Officer of Tarleem joining us live on the line now. Norm Dean joins us on The Agenda. Good morning to you, Norm.
And good morning to you. How are you today?
We're not too bad. So help us get to the bottom of this little quandary, if you can. I know it's an age-old debate, but what better day to be discussing it just 2 days after the end of the summer holidays here in the UAE? The pros and the cons. Does the argument that the negative effects of long holidays outweigh the benefits?
Look, I think, to be honest, that there are differing views on this, actually, as you indicated initially, that it's kind of an age-old debate, really, and you'll find researchers and other commentators who will argue both ways on the equation, to be honest. My personal view on this is that, as your colleague indicated in the first opening comment about the memories that she was recalling, and I think, to me, that's a very important and kind of rich aspect of this whole conversation, because there is a lot of learning that takes place actually beyond the classroom. And so, yes, there is a long time away from formal schooling, but I think if people are conscious of the fact that learning occurs every single day, and for children, when they're not in school, there are many things they can absorb and actually learn to apply of their own experience, which I think is very valuable. And so whether it's 2 weeks or whether it's 6 weeks or whether it's 8 weeks, there are many things, many experiences that children can undertake, participate in, that I think will actually enrich their learning, enrich them as individuals and as people. So, yeah, that's kind of my opening stand. I guess I think that there is a lot to be said for learning beyond the classroom, quite frankly.
The naysayers out there, Norm, would suggest that the only people that benefit from this, forget your parents, forget the students, is the staff, teachers, the education faculties at schools. Long holidays, again, I mean, is this essential in terms of development, in terms of training, in terms of rest for staff?
I think there are 2 points you picked on here. One is rest and training. And for most teachers, quite frankly, holidays will consist of both of those things. Certainly they need a rest because it is a very demanding job and does take a lot of other people. But equally, you would find the greater majority of teachers will, throughout that time, be tinkering, they'll be reading, they'll be attending training programs, they'll be continually focusing on the year to come and thinking about what they'll be doing and the class they'll have. It's really kind of unusual for teachers to kind of have a break and completely turn off from their responsibilities. So it is something that teachers just do. It's just part of the intuitive nature of teachers being teachers, actually. So, yes, they do need a rest, and they do have a rest, which is, I think, important to return refreshed and energised. But as I said before, certainly they'll be undertaking some formal training and or reading or preparation for the year to come.
Hi, Norm, Hanan here. And what's the best way then of entertaining your kids so the holidays, one, don't feel too long, and two, they get the balance where they are still learning, and obviously, you know, you might not have the budget to sort of literally be physically away the whole time?
No, again, well, there are clearly a raft of activities that children can do either in the home, down the street, in the playground. But I think it's also important that parents provide children just with the time to play and just be still and just be kids, actually, and just socialise. So I think it depends on each family will do this differently in terms of how you want to structure the day and how structured you have the activities. But there are many things in a day that kids can do, and if parents or others around them actually know the kind of questions to ask or the kind of activities to provide, then it can be really quite rich. And even just for kids, quite frankly, getting out to a playground and just playing, and there's a lot of value in just kids actually doing that in terms of their physical development and developing, you know, body confidence, for example, and just body awareness, which is all part of their learning, but just the socialisation aspect and just the fact that they're outside and they're doing things. So that's an important aspect. Now, I know the summer here, it's going to be very, very difficult, but for example, I went to the World Trade Center here in a month or so ago when I came back after my break, and the activities in that place were phenomenal. It was extraordinary. The number of kids playing games in there was really, really fantastic. So that's one thing that you can do, but there is lots of just even reading and just even directing kids in terms of some literature that they can explore, just even something creative, it's the arts, just kids making lunch, kids creating, making a cake, kids doing some online, they can actually do some online things as well, because most of them will be connected in some way or another. And again, so long as those things are managed and monitored, there are some terrific resources there that children can actually participate in. But there is, again, I've looked at this myself over the years, there are endless reams of resources available for parents to provide various activities for children, actually. And sometimes just the mum and dad, actually the kids, to sit down and spend a bit of time together is a very, very valuable thing to do as well, which is difficult to do during a school term because everyone's busy and there's after-school activities and there's sport and there's homework and mum and dad are working, or et cetera, so just even the mere fact that we have some time to sit and be still or have conversation with one another, and as you indicated when you opened up the commentary before, touch base with relatives, touch base with different experiences, different cultures. So again, there's a whole range of different things that kids can participate in, which I would term, you know, learning, because every day is about learning, just because you're experiencing different things rather than sitting necessarily in a formal classroom setting.
And, you know, you've mentioned a lot of the benefits there and suggestions, things to do. But what about, you know, we've just got 30 seconds, but what about the impact of having so much time off? Can there be a negative impact if the kids are away from their study schedule for so long?
Look, honestly, if the teaching and the learning has been well-founded, then it takes very little time generally for children and teachers to kind of pick them back up again from where children left off. So, you know, I think taking kids out of school for a period of time, provided they're having those kind of experiences that we've talked about, is only going to be beneficial. And in terms of the formal learning, yes, okay, when you come back, you'll do another assessment of where kids are at and what they may have regressed slightly over the break. But if the teaching and the learning has been solid enough, the foundation is good enough, and it should be, then those things should come back, you know, pretty rapidly, actually. And there'd be great excitement, I think, and enrichment talking in class about the things you did and begin to embellish those things and further embed the learning.
I'm sure those conversations are ongoing as we speak at the moment, as children across the UAE in Taaleem schools and otherwise talk about what they got up to over the summer. Norm, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much indeed, and all the best to you and the Taaleem team for the new academic year.
Thank you very much, and have a great day yourselves. Thank you so much.
Norm Dean, the Chief Education Officer at Taaleem here in the UAE, giving us his thoughts on the subject at hand, which is school holidays, the summer holidays specifically.
It's time to have your say. The Agenda with Tom Urquhart on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right, let's get into this one. Before that, in fact, let's just bring you up to date with a couple of the promotions that we've got going on here at Dubai Eye over the coming weeks and months.
Well, people who are looking for something to do with their kids, this is a good one because you can your kids can dine free. Kids up to 12 years old get to eat free at Madinat Jumeirah daily at Hanaya, the Palmery and Arboretum. And all you need to do is go to Jumeirah 90 Ways. Sorry, jumeirah.com/90ways. That's pretty good. Something to do. Something to do with the kids.
Keep them occupied or not, as the case may be anymore. Because they're all at school and knackered and it's fine. But there's something you can do over the weekend or maybe later on today as a little bit of a treat, just to let them know that there is still plenty to look forward to. Thank you very much indeed for that one, Hanan. We're talking school holidays here on the show and it is gaining something of a mixed response, this one. We're basically asking who benefits from the summer holidays. Are the summer holidays too long? Do they need to be re-looked at, if you like? Because a number of people are suggesting that they might be a little bit too long. A vast majority of the world's school calendars have long summer holidays, their length ranging from 3 weeks in South Korea to 3 months in America, Italy and Turkey. The holidays, 19th century origins, are hazy. They're probably believed to be something of a hangover from the West's agricultural, agrarian past, if you like, when families needed their children's help in the fields during the summer. Though many historians think the evidence for this is thin and just a little bit over-romanticised. Popular imagination, school summer holidays conjure up a picture of carefree, youthful exploration, but for many children and their families, the reality is very different. Research, must admit, mostly from America, suggests that children will return from the long break having forgotten much of what they were taught the previous year. One study from an unnamed state in the American South found that this summer learning loss could equate to a quarter of the year's education. And it's poor children who tend to be the worst affected. A study done, again, in the United States found that variations in summer loss might account for two-thirds of the achievement gap between rich and poor children between the ages of 14 or 15. Evidence from outside America is more scarce, but studies have found that children also regress over the summer break in Belgium, Britain, Canada, Germany, and Malawi, of all places, all of which have much shorter holidays than America. For parents too, summer holidays can be very challenging. Many rely on the term time services that schools give their offspring, such as supervision and meals. Come the holidays, they can suddenly find their schedules and budgets stretched. Hanan, what are people saying?
Well, yeah, we've got a few people texting in. Jen says the school holidays go on forever. I love having the kids, but it's really hard juggling time off from work with their long holidays. And Beth says I changed my job to be a teacher so I get the long holidays, as it was just too hard to get the time off in my corporate job, not to mention how expensive it was.
I don't know where I stand on this one. I get it, the teachers often benefit from the break. But as we've heard there from Norman a little earlier on, a number of teachers, they're not just sunning themselves on a beach somewhere. You know, they're at work and they like other individuals, can't take the full 7 or 8 weeks off, and they need to plan for the forthcoming term amongst others. So should we rethink long holidays or not? Seems that the jury is out a little. I suppose the only example I could give is, you know, when I asked you a little earlier on about your summer holidays and your memories of summer holidays.
Yeah.
And I reckon that 90% of people that I asked would reference back a holiday that they took during the summer holidays. So somewhere they visited with their parents. You know, you were talking about going over to Ireland and seeing your grandfather and things like that. You know, I'd talk about going on trips with my parents to France or Italy or otherwise, because those are where the memories are born and created, as opposed to the countless hours you spend pacing around your front room, turning on and turning off the TV, more recently, of course, video gaming, amongst others, and bits and pieces like that. Unless you are one of those individuals that can entertain themselves, if you find it difficult to entertain yourself without the structure of school and without the structure of teams and clubs and bits and pieces like that, it can be a testing time.
It can be. I mean, I used to have friends that were nearby as well. So actually thinking about it, it's just made me realise, because you were a boarder, weren't you? So if you were a boarder, were all your friends living in quite different places?
Not necessarily. There were still a few around, but yeah. I mean,
no, but I mean, when you were younger, they weren't like near you probably.
They
weren't
in the village, that's for sure. So
yeah,
it took a lot more to actually see them. You often just saw them in term times because they were more spread out.
Otherwise, it would have to be some big visit overnight, that sort of thing. Whereas for me, I could pop down and see friends because we were at the same school in the same area. So that's different. But also, would you not, you know, if you're a boarder, whatever your feelings, most parents are going to want to see their kids. If they've only got like a month, you know, and the rest of the time they're away, they're probably going to want those longer holidays, aren't they, to get to see them more?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think there is an element in that. But I suppose it's therefore fine. That's why the jury's out to a certain degree, because it's finding that fine balance between those that are boarding and trying to balance the time that parents get to spend with them. But again, that broaches the question of cost, but also the amount of time you can take off work to spend quality time with them, as opposed to those that have shorter summer holidays because of the school that they're in. So should there be parity across the board or not? As there is, and there is growingly here in the UAE, thanks to the KHDA. It doesn't matter whether you're in a government school, if you're a private school, or a public school, everyone seems to get the certainly within the 2 or 3 days or something similar holidays here. Is that a policy that would work for you? And equally, what's the policies and what worked for you when you were growing up? I've got this one that's come through from Maximilian this morning, saying in Canada, we have extra high school classes available in the summer. And basically, it's full of all the smart kids trying to get ahead. So maybe just make everyone take summer school rather than leave them off.
Oh, did you have that option?
No.
Oh, I don't think I'd have fancied that. I used to do, you know, like sports camps and stuff as well, which I really liked. I used to enjoy that, you know, going and doing sports all day, burning off a lot of energy. But yeah, I don't think I'd particularly fancy doing extra studying.
This one's come through from Zara this morning. So maybe not a mandatory long school year, but a subsidised summer daycare that ends up doing some education sounds about right. Thank you very much indeed for that one, Zara.
And Mo says, we take our kids to see our families for a month to relieve the pressure. And then we spend a week abroad and a few weeks at home getting organised for the year ahead. So the time goes quickly.
Got this one from Lou, who's been in touch, saying it's a two-way street for me, saying on the one hand, I believe that summer break is way too long and that most people's brains turn into mush by the time school in the fall begins. However, shortening summer break will cause a disruption to summer school, camps and sports leagues. How excellent would it be if we could find a way to make summer camps, education or not, more affordable and available for everybody? Summer break wouldn't nearly be as boring for a lot of kids. Thanks for that.
But that's interesting. And when we spoke to Norm Dean earlier, the CEO of Taaleem, he was saying that, you know, it didn't take long for kids to get back into their routine. And so, you know, it is interesting. Some people are saying, you know, how much you're losing in terms of not studying. But he was saying, actually, it's not that bad. Dee says, my kids are terrible out of their routine. I think holidays should be a month long at a maximum. Do you remember how long yours were?
When I was at school?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 2 months. Yeah.
Two. I think mine were only 6 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks, which is a bit less, actually, noticeably less. Maybe something like six weeks is good balance.
Michael's been in touch saying this, paying for childcare during school holidays obviously costs poorer families disproportionately more. But there are also other costs that come with long holidays, notably the provision of meals. Child poverty campaigners have argued for years that many of the world's most disadvantaged children do not get access to nutritious meals and the opportunity to participate in physical exercise during the holidays. A shorter summer break would prevent that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that would be good indeed.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.